It don't get any better than that right there. Thank y'all, youngins.
Thank y'all. I wish I could take credit for teaching them all how to sing like that. Amen. That is wonderful. Nehemiah chapter 3. Ain't you glad it's well? Amen. Well, maybe there's only four of us. Amen. Know that tonight. I'm glad it's well with my soul. Amen. Amen. I remember when it wasn't. I remember when it wasn't. Amen. I said, I remember when it wasn't. I remember when there was dread and fear and turmoil, and rightly so, but I remember the day the Lord Jesus changed all that. And I can say tonight it's well with my soul, and that is a blessing. If you say that in the matter of salvation, there's nothing more important, nothing greater that could go on in your life that would amount to be more magnified than your lost state. And by that, I just simply mean, amen, all my worst days are behind me. I've had some bad days since I've been saved, but it ain't ever reached the level that it did before I was saved. And so if I can say in the matter of my soul and the salvation and all the former things being passed away as well, then surely, and I believe the Lord is teaching me some things in these days that we can still rest in Him no matter what, and it can still be well. Amen. It can still be well. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 3. We want to go back in tonight to our study on the gateways to the presence of God. And the Lord laid it on our hearts some time ago to study these gates. And then as we've studied them and gave some consideration to them, filled the leadership of the Spirit to share some of these truths with the church. And it has sure been a help to my life. And the way some have testified, it's been a help to you as well. And I trust that we'll learn some things again tonight. I told you about the one writer that I was reading after. He said about any kind of preaching out of Nehemiah 3, he said there are no spiritual truth. It's just historical. There's nothing there to glean from. And that man, he has been so educated that he has missed the mark. Amen. I find Nehemiah chapter 3 to be filled with as much truth and practical, personal, spiritual application as any chapter in the Word of God. And you may have to study and dig through and find it, but it's there. Amen. You say you believe that? You got Bible for that? I sure do. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And is profitable. How much of it's profitable? All of it, including Nehemiah chapter number 3. Amen. And so stand with me. We'll read our verse again. So we've made our way now to this fifth gate, known as a very reproachful term, a term that doesn't have a lot of Brother Tim, help me back there if you would please. Don't have a lot of good things, you know, that you would come to mind when you think about the name of this gate, but the Dung Gate. So verse 14 reads, "But the Dung Gate repaired Malchiah the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakkerem. He built it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof." We started this on last Sunday night. You can go ahead and be seated. We want to jump right into it this evening. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Give us, Lord, some strength of body and voice and mind. More than that, I pray you touch our heart and fill us with the Spirit, Lord, as far as His influence and the success that He can make preaching become, take us, Lord, through Him beyond ourselves. Lord, we'll thank You, Lord, for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're here now at the fifth gate that is known, I believe, to be one of the most practical of all the gates that are mentioned in Nehemiah chapter number 3, and that is the Dung Gate. We would reiterate again this evening, in its name, there is a measure of reproach. Something just about saying the very name of this gate, the Dung Gate, that is kind of repulsive. In fact, Last Sunday night, we got done preaching and went to the house, was talking to the family about the Lord's Day and about the even the message on last Sunday night. And I think it was my wife, I think it was her, may have been one of the children, said, "Man, you said dung so many times." And amen, I said, "That was on purpose." Amen, was preaching on the dung gate. And I understand it's repulsive, and I understand that there is a measure of reproach. But when we think about the dung gate and the list of these 10 gates that are found in Nehemiah chapter number 3, we come to the conclusion it is a necessary gate. It served to be the way trash and refuse and soil was discarded to help keep Jerusalem clean and to keep it in a befitting way in which mankind could live in decency and enjoyment. They didn't have modern day sewage to carry off some of the vile things that like we have today, and we're thankful for those conveniences and those matters that they might have been discovered, but they didn't have that in the days of Nehemiah chapter number 3. And so the dung gate served as a point of entry into the city, but more importantly, an exit out of the city that would help keep the city clean and the people free of disease and all the different plagues that could arise by trash and filth and soil piling up everywhere. So the dung gate speaks to you and I the importance of cleansing. Boy, cleansing and being clean in this world and clean before God and clean spiritually, sanctified and consecrated, I believe is a very, very important doctrine in the life of the children of God. And when it comes to the church, I believe as we consider the dung gate tonight, we can note that it was one of the first that Nehemiah surveyed to see the condition of the holy city back in Nehemiah chapter number 2. He would enter in at the valley gate and then make his way across. As he surveyed, he came to the dung gate and found that the gates had been burned, they had been destroyed, and that the enemy had left it in absolute wreck and ruin. Nehemiah understood what I think we ought to understand spiritually, and that is if this gate were left destroyed, the rebuilding of the other gates, that is, and the walls and these matters in Nehemiah 3 would only be enjoyed for a short time before the trash started stinking up the city and before, amen, all the debris would begin, my friend, to pile up, and they don't have a way to get it out. Amen, they're not going to be able to enjoy this place that is known as the holy city of God. And I believe that Nehemiah understood what we better understand in this day. And it is the warning that we give in this part of the introduction and the message tonight. Child of God, do not try to bypass the dung gate in your life. Amen. If they needed it physically in Jerusalem, we need one spiritually in our life. Amen. A matter and a place and a time and understanding that it's important to deal with our trash and our mess and our junk that we let pile up in our life. We know that, and I believe it's probably my favorite part of the entire message, and especially, amen, as it relates to the introduction that we studied on last week, that when it came to our salvation, and one of the ways we find that pictured in the Word of God in two places, Hannah's prayer of praise and dedication of Samuel to the Lord in 1 Samuel 2 and in verse number 8. You'll read it again in Psalm 113 and verse number 7, where the psalmist made the declaration that it is the Lord that raises the beggar and the needy from the dunghill. So when God saved us, we said on last week, He didn't find us in a trophy case. He didn't find us, my friend, as valuable pieces, amen, that were within a display somewhere that, and my friend, He didn't find us in some pleasant place, but when He came and He rescued our lives and He saved us, from the dunghill of sin and the dunghill of trash and, amen, the dunghill of a life of wickedness and ruin and stink and filth and, Amen. All the things that would be associated with, amen, the matter of dung. And I'm glad that, amen, though I was on the dunghill, that, amen, the Lord came and found me there and brought me from that and rescued me from that. Amen. You see, sinners don't really want to think about and admit, amen, how bad a shape they're really in tonight. Without Jesus Christ, you're on a spiritual dunghill. Amen. Your life stinks. Your life is full of trash. My friend, you're vile and you're a reproach and you're ashamed. And my friend, you got great big issues in your life. Amen. If you take the Lord Jesus Christ out of it, but I'm glad. Amen. He brought me, Hannah said, he brought me up out and from the dunghill. And our point is not only a point of joy, but, amen, also a practical point of warning that the Lord didn't lift us from the dunghill so we could live in it afterwards. Amen. And we understand the matter of the dung gate. We believe there's a truth here. Amen. That, my friend, if you've been lifted from the dung, then leave the dung alone. Amen. The dunghill ain't the child of God's playground anymore. Amen. It ain't our hangout. It ain't our, amen, it ain't our place of enjoyment anymore. We find no joy. Amen. We didn't find it. I like what Brother Tim said this morning about, amen, about his own life and his own testimony. Amen. If we be honest, there wasn't much joy in the dunghill before we got saved. Amen. What makes us think we're going to find any joy going back to that and playing around in the field and in the mess? And so I'm glad I've been lifted out. But if we've been lifted out, amen, we ought to leave the dung alone. I think about this dung. You think about dung in the life of a child of God. Amen. Spiritually speaking tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, how would you define dung? Spiritual dung, trash and refuse, said, amen, this matter of what we're dealing with tonight. Amen. Could I use the words of the Apostle Paul? If you want to look in Philippians chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul begins to recount what he used to be, and he is a very religious man. He was a man esteemed in the religion that he practiced. Men would pat him on the back. In fact, of his life, he said, of an earthly realm, even in my religion, he said, if there's anybody that think they have right to glory, amen, and have confidence in their flesh, here's what Paul said, if any man, other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, you think you got, amen, a life of success and a life of things that have amounted to something that fleshly in your flesh you have confidence in and are trusting in what you can do in yourself. Amen. Paul said, there's a time I had more than you can even imagine. And he began to talk about some of the successes he had had in life and had in religion and things that he had attained unto. And it is, amen, in the Jewish culture, a very, very impressive list. I don't have time to deal with all of Philippians 3, but if you'll look in verse number 8, the apostle said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but loss, what, Paul, where, and why? He said, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And I believe one of the things, now there's a lot of things to unpackage in verse number 8. Amen. But if I could boil it down to the point that we want to make this evening, amen, dung, I believe Paul is saying, is anything that keeps us from winning Christ. Anything that keeps us from knowing and having knowledge of Him. Amen. Knowing the excellency of His knowledge. Amen. Growing in the knowledge of Him. Amen. And being pleased with and satisfied with amen, that personal relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything that keeps us from growing in that, anything that keeps us from winning that and attaining that and being satisfied with that, Paul said, I count all of that to be done. Amen. I don't want anything between me and Christ. I don't want anything standing between me and fellowship with Him. Amen. I believe tonight that, amen, when it comes to dung, that obviously would be a wonderful picture tonight, or maybe a dreadful picture, we should say, amen, of what sin is in the life of the child of God. Amen. Just downright, outright sin, amen, ought to be counted as dung. That, amen, sin would keep us from winning Christ and knowing Christ and living in the excellency of His knowledge, that, amen, surely sin would be counted dung. Amen. I think in the context of Philippians 3, amen, there's the matter of even our successes at times. Amen, could come between us and our Savior. And my friend, in that moment of time, we must count, Paul said, we must count. That means we must deem it and esteem it and value it. Amen, even our successes, amen, to be as it were done. Amen, we'd be amazed tonight, even in this place, as good a church as this is. Amen. How many of us have allowed our spiritual successes, amen, to come between us and our Savior? Amen. And oh, if we're not careful, we'll be lifted up in pride. Amen. We'll think we're somebody and forget that we're really nobody outside of Jesus Christ. And my friend, that's what Paul is saying. All them things I could have confidence in, I had to realize and come to the place in my life and realize that was nothing but dung. I had to deal with it as though it was the dung that I had, that was keeping me from fellowship and a deep relationship with my Savior. Amen. Boy, you ought to ponder that. I ain't got time to preach all of it. Amen. But sin and success, and no doubt tonight, and this would tie in maybe with both, but amen, just the simple matter of self. Amen. The matter of self. Can I remind us tonight, amen, there's not really much valuable about us this evening in and of ourselves. Amen, sin and what we are by nature, amen, really is not worth all of that much. Amen, and I'm telling you this evening, a lot of times it's ourself, amen, that causes problems in our spiritual life, and we don't view ourselves as the dung that we really are. Amen. Oh, are you listening tonight? Amen. Our flesh loves to rise up and have the preeminence. Our self-desire and our self-righteousness. Amen. Our self-attainment. Amen. Oh, everything that this wants out of this life. Amen. If we're not careful, my friend, it'll come between us and the Savior. And Paul said, amen, as you grow in your faith, as you learn what it is to be a child of God, amen, you've got to learn how, amen, to value even yourself, amen, count yourself to be done that you may win Christ. Amen. 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 Most folk think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. Most folk are more interested in what they want than what God wants. They wonder why they live a life of mess and stink and filth and hardship. Amen. Amen. Don't make me preach here. I'm in introduction. I didn't give you this last week. Amen. I got a lot to give. I got to hurry now. But amen, I'm telling you, we better leave the flesh life, that self life. Amen. Count it but dung and say, I want to win Christ. Amen. I don't want anything coming between me and the presence of God. Amen. We're preaching on the gateways to the presence of God. Amen. And until we make a right evaluation of the things in our life, amen, that are indeed dung and deal with that,
amen, and run that to the dung gate and have a place where, amen, we get rid of that out of our life, we'll never enjoy the gateway, the presence of God.
Amen. That's good. That's wonderful preaching, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Preach on, man of God.
We looked at last week, the first main point, as we're considering some truths about the dung gate and the importance of spiritual cleansing. Amen. We looked at the labor around the dung gate. The labor around the dung gate. I won't re-preach it all, but the collecting and carrying of rubbish to the dung gate. Amen. To have it thrown into the fire in the valley of Hinnom. Amen. Would take labor. Labor would be involved. Amen. We looked at it as a purging work that, amen, we got to purge out, my friend, the dung and the leaven and the sin and the success and the, amen, the self. We've got to purge it out of our life. Amen. Cleanse it thoroughly. Amen. No matter how big or how small it may be, it is a purging work. We looked at the fact in the text verse and it was a personal work. Amen. And there we drew the truth out of our text verse, Nehemiah 3:14. And this is the first gate that has a single man that is involved in building this gate. Amen. There was no companion. There was no brother. There was no son. It doesn't appear there was any daughters. It doesn't appear like he had any friends. Amen. That helped him. It speaks of the personal work in the life of the child of God. The fact, amen, that no one else can do this for you. Amen. You must purge yourself. That's what Paul said to Timothy. And if any man purge himself from these, amen, listen, you got to understand it's a personal work. Amen. This man's a ruler. This man has a position. Amen. This man has attained to be something in the culture in which he's living. Amen. And yet he did not allow his position, amen, to cause him to shirk his personal responsibility. And then we ended on it was a perpetual work. Amen. This gate would be extremely important in the days of the reviving of Jerusalem under the ministries of Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4 and verse 10 said there was much rubbish in the city, and that much rubbish began to be a burden to the burden bearers. And my friend, they needed the dung gate so they could get it out. Amen. But however, once they got it out, the walls built, the gates raised. And my friend, it would require daily maintenance on their behalf. Amen. To keep the city free from the dung. Amen. Listen, this matter of the dung gate, it ain't a one-time deal. Amen. It's a perpetual work. And so we would ask the question again, when's the last time you dealt with some dung in your life? Amen. Somebody said back in 1999, I got some dung out of my life. That, amen, that's 23 years too long ago.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
In fact, I'll get even more dogmatic about it. Amen. If you ain't dealt with some kind of dung in your life in the last 7 days, you got too much building up in your life. I don't mean to be vile, and I understand this is a vile illustration tonight. Amen. But you imagine this week not having the sewage systems that we have, and all the waste and the matters that we're dealing with tonight, amen, in a physical realm, all of that building up over 7 days, and amen, you can't flush and you ain't got a way to dispose of it, and you just, amen, let it pile up. Amen. Do you realize, and I know it's vile, and it's just the only way I know to illustrate, amen, the matter. I wouldn't normally even deal with stuff like this, but amen, bring that into your spiritual life.
Right.
Amen. You live that way, and I've been in some homes, they just about live that way.
Right.
You can't hardly even stand to open the door and sit in their living room.
Right.
I wonder tonight, spiritually, if you've dealt with your mess and got it washed out and cleansed out of your life. Amen. Or spiritually, are we in such bad shape? amen, that God don't want to be around us. Amen, other folk don't want to be around us because we let all the mess pile up. Amen, and created a spiritual environment of stench and filth and vile and disease and plague. And then we wonder why we come to church and can't even get blessed.
Amen.
This labor, it is a perpetual work. Amen. Number two, consider the location of the dung gate. Not only the labor around it, but the location of the dung gate. Amen. I notice that this gate is specially and specifically positioned where it is between the valley gate and the gate of the fountain. When we consider this on your map, we give you some time ago, several weeks ago. I don't even know that I have mine. Amen. This evening, I think I took it out. But, amen, you'll find that the dung gate is on the very southerly end of the city of Jerusalem. Again, this dung gate would give them access to the very depths of the valley of Hinnom. And that's where their dumping ground was. That's where their, amen, that's where they, amen, brought all the filth and the rubbish and the trash. Amen, that would accumulate in their life. They would bring it to the dung gate. Amen, on the southerly end of the city. And there it would be discarded. Why there? Amen, why wasn't it on the north end? Amen, why wasn't it on the west side of the city? Amen, I believe it was where it was located with, amen, a design in mind. Amen, consider with me its relation, in the matter of its location, in relation to the prevailing winds. I just threw this out on last week. I won't have time to preach it all out this evening, or this is going to turn into a series itself. Amen, but amen, you say, preacher, what do you mean the prevailing winds? If you'll do a study on Jerusalem, you'll find the predominant winds come from a westerly direction. And so that coming from a westerly direction, the dung gate being on the southeast side of the city, this simply means and gives us insight that when the wind blows, no matter, amen, if it's a northwesterly, westerly, or southwesterly direction, amen, the wind is always blowing the effects of their trash and their dung, amen, to the wilderness. Amen, can you imagine what that would be? An entire city, amen, dumping their dung, putting their trash, amen, down through the dung gate in the valley of Hinnom. Amen, you imagine on a hot summer day, amen, what that would begin to smell like. Amen, all the reminders of, amen, all the reminders of what you've done, all the reminders of your failures, all the reminders of your mess. Amen. And yet they strategically placed that, amen, in that part of the city. Amen. It only take a little blowing of the breeze. Amen. When things began to smell and things, my friend, began to tell on them. Amen. The prevailing winds would begin to blow across the valley. And my friend, carry that stench away. Amen. May I say tonight, there is a personal work, amen, that is involved in dealing with your dung. Amen. But I'm glad there's somebody, amen, if you'll be willing to deal with your trash, amen, there's a Holy Ghost in heaven, amen, that began to blow upon our lives, amen, and remove the stench and the filth and carry it, my friend, away, amen, and let us know the joy, amen, of my friend, the presence of God, amen. I'm glad there is a wind that blows, amen. I'd hate tonight to have to live that, amen, with all I've ever done and all the mess I've ever made, amen, all the failures I've ever, my friend, done, amen. I'm glad there's a wind from glory. I'm glad the Spirit of the Lord, amen, knows just when and how and where, amen. I need a breeze from glory to help me deal with my dung. Amen. Amen. You can't, amen. You see, the matter is, it's a personal work. Amen. But the best you can do, amen, as an individual, amen, will still fall short if the Holy Ghost don't come by. Amen. Amen. No. Amen. Listen, quit blaming everybody else for the mess your life's in. Amen. Quit blaming everybody else for their dung and how it's affecting you. Amen. You deal with your own trash. You get your own mess to the dung cake. Amen. Let the wind blow and you can have victory in your spiritual life. Relation of the prevailing winds in this location, the dung gate. Oh, to swim in the location of the dung gate in relation. Oh, y'all hang on now. I feel, amen, I feel some screws getting ready to be tightened down. But in relation to the praying wall. You say, what do you mean? In my study, Brother Mark, I found that the dung gate, if you was to enter the city through the dung gate, or you was to come, through the city headed toward the dung gate, whether you was coming in or going out, amen, you would encounter what is known even to this very day as the Western Wall. Anybody ever heard of the Western Wall? The Western Wall, it's one of the most, in our day, it's one of those ancient antiquities of Jerusalem. I believe that it's one of the original retaining walls going back even to the very days of Solomon. And after all that the enemy had come in and done by Babylon and then later Rome, amen, that somehow, no doubt sovereignly, that the Lord God of glory spared, amen, the Western Wall. Now in the Western Wall, here's what you're going to find. Amen, the Western Wall there, amen, is the outer wall of the temple closest to the Holy of Holies. Now there's a section of that wall near the dung gate that Brother Jack is known as the Wailing Wall. Anybody ever heard of the Wailing Wall? The Wailing Wall, the section of that western wall known as the Wailing Wall, it is a very sacred place to the Jewish community. It's where that they will go. And then they'll make their way pilgrimages there, and they'll write down prayers on little pieces of paper, and they'll roll those up. They'll stand at that wall. They will weep and they'll cry, and they'll shove them little pieces of paper in that wall, amen, because of what it represents back in days gone by, amen, is that wall nearest to the Holy of Holies. Amen, we know only the priest can go into the Holy of Holies. Amen, the common Jewish man had no way. My friend, they began to learn, well, if we'll go to the Wailing Wall, amen, the Western Wall, we'll get as close as we can, and we'll commune with God from that place. Amen, it really is a wonderful picture, amen, of a man praying, of a woman having communion with God. Here's what I thought when that began to unfold to me in my study. People who are praying people are people who deal with the dung in their life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You will never, never be able, amen, to pray and to break through and have answers to your prayers until, my friend, you're willing to live your spiritual life, amen, getting rid of the dung. Amen, I'm glad tonight. Amen, I'm glad tonight. What did David say? Amen, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen, if we got anybody in the building tonight that would say, I need God to hear me. I need God to answer my prayer. I need God, I need assurance that God is going to hear me when I pray. Amen. Can I say, amen, if you'll get in the dung gate and drop all your trash off, amen, get rid of the sin and die to the success. And my friend, let yourself even be laid down as though you were a piece of dung yourself. Amen. I'm telling you, you'll be able to go to the Wailing Wall and pour out your prayer to God and have assurance that God has heard you when you pray.
Amen.
Amen. You'd be amazed how many folk want God to hear and answer their prayer, but they don't want to go to the dung gate.
You're right. Amen.
Amen. It don't work that way, child of God. It does not work that way. The labor around the dung gate, the location of the dung gate. Let me say a word about the leadership at the dung gate. Look in the verse again. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler and part of Beth-Hakkerem. Notice the phrase, the ruler, the man that stepped up to play, stepped up to the plate at this gate when nobody else seems to be willing, when nobody else has showed up. We find that this man, and in this man, he provides to you and I a picture of leadership that assists us in learning and living a clean life.
Amen.
He's a picture tonight of at least three, I could probably add a fourth kind of leadership that we're going to have in our life if we're going to know how to deal with dung. Y'all want this real quick? Number one, consider he speaks tonight. In him we see a picture of what I call providential leadership. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about, amen, us submitting ourselves to the leadership of God in our life. The man's name is Malchiah. Malchiah, his name directly means Jehovah is my king. Ain't that amazing? Amen. Is that not amazing tonight? That at the dung gate, it wasn't Joe that showed up. Amen. It wasn't Bob and it wasn't Philip. And amen. It wasn't, it wasn't somebody, amen, that had just a common name. Now, if your name is Bob or Ted or whoever I just called, I can't even remember. Amen. If that, amen, is your name, I'm not belittling your name. But ain't it ironic? Is it not significant tonight, Jesse, at the man that showed up, his name means Jehovah is my king.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You see, no one will get to the dung gate and get the dung out of their life until they realize the Lord is my king.
That's right.
It's a matter of leadership. It's a matter of the Lord having leadership of our life. He's called here the son of Rechab, meaning to ride, to place upon, to dispatch, and pictures one upon and directing a beast who has been broken by the master. Thought about this, that you will know Jehovah's your king when he has the reins of direction for your life. We're living in a generation, you can get mad at me, amen, you can spit on me going out the door, it'll be fine, but you'll know I'm telling you the truth. We're living in a generation of rebels. We're living in a generation of unbroken people. We're living in a generation of from young people to middle-aged people to older people, from children and grandchildren to parents and grandparents that, our friend, are stubborn and are living life according to their own will.
Right, sir.
This man testifies of providential leadership that, my friend, he comes from, amen, the stables of glory. Jehovah, he says, is my king. And because he is my king, he has broken my will. He has broken my stubbornness. He has broken the bands of rebellion at one time kicked against him and fought against him. And now he has the reins of my life. Amen. When he pulls to the left, I go left. When he pulls to the right, I go right. Amen. When he says, giddy up, I go. And when he says, whoa, I stop.
Amen.
You see, the matter of dealing with dung, we must realize we must be broken by our king. Amen. Your problem tonight ain't all the standards and it ain't all the rules. Everybody listen. Your problem tonight in your spiritual life is not that the standards are too hard and too high and too strong and too spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Your problem is you are a rebel by nature.
Right.
And I say that because that's what I am by nature.
Amen.
Now our problem tonight is not, amen, all the things we think that it is. The problem is we've not been broken by the King.
Amen.
You know that's right.
Yes, sir.
It's absolutely right. Amen. Hang on, it gets worse. Amen. Notice he is from Bethhacharim, meaning house of the vineyard. And told you last week this was a place, amen, where grapes were grown and there, and they were grown there and used to make wine. Wine in the Word of God is a picture of joy. Amen. Oh, what a wondrous picture we find in this man and the providential leadership. It seems to be in every name that is associated with this man. What a picture in these names. And when Jehovah's our King, we've been broken by Him. Amen. Oh, that is where, amen, the filth is driven away. That's where the filth is dealt with, and we find the true joy of living for our Savior.
Amen.
You want joy tonight? You're not going to find it in the world. So sick of this generation. Amen. This generation, Brother Tim, you said it right. They think they're going to find a fullness out there. Amen. They think they're being deceived. They think that they're being led to. They think God is somehow, amen, just hindering them from having fun. Amen. You've got it all wrong. You're seeing it backwards. You're not looking at it the way, amen, that God intends. And friend, what God, amen, is our King. As the Master breaking our will, it is for our joy.
Amen.
It's for our joy.
Yes,
He knows what sin did to the last young person.
Amen.
He knows what sin did to the last family and resisted His Lordship and thought they could fool around in the world. Amen. And went outside of the providential leadership that God wanted to have in their life. Not only it leads to you hear me and hear me well. Amen. You may get mad and you may run the dunghill tonight. Amen. You may run to sin in the world and buck up against everything. Amen. But I'm telling you, all you'll ever find in this world, amen, is a heap of a dunghill left. Amen. Without God, all you got's a mess.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. The providential leadership. Y'all want another? Let me preach to young folk for a minute. Done made the rest of us mad. Let me rattle the young people's cage. In this man, I see not only providential leadership, but I see parental leadership.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Sam, I know you got to go to work, but if you can hang out 10 more minutes, I don't want you to miss this. It'll take me 20 to get it, but if you'll stay for 10, you'll get most of it. Malchiah, the son of Rechab. Rechab. Boy, that is an interesting man to study in the Word of God. The Rechabites. Hey, man, this man was a Rechabite. Say, preacher, who are the Rechabites? Well, I'd give you one of the most famous stories in the Word of God concerning the Rechabites. Is found in the days of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 35, you can look at it when you get home. God speaks to Jeremiah and He said, I want you to go down there and get them sons of Jonadab and those Rechabites, and you bring them down here to the house of God and sit them down, and you pour some wine out in front of them and you tell them to drink the wine. So Jeremiah runs off, he gathers a handful of them and brings them down there, Sam, and sits them down. And, amen, he starts pouring wine. Listen, they're in the house of God. They've got Jeremiah in front of them saying, drink it. Go ahead, drink it. There's another man of God who's joined Jeremiah that's there, and he's observing. He ain't saying, don't drink it. I mean, everything around them that's going on, amen, seems like even God is saying, Jeremiah's saying, God said, tell you to drink it.
Yes, sir.
They've got every opportunity right now, Brother Jake, to do some things that would get them in some big time trouble. Everybody listening, you young folk listening, Lucas, you listening, amen, listen to John, you listening up there, listen to me. You know what them boys said? They said, we will not drink.
Amen. Yes.
I'm talking about the preacher gave them a license. They're in the house of God and nobody said, no, no, don't do it. It even looks like that God is going to let them do this. And they said, we will not drink.
Amen.
Jeremiah said, well, why won't you drink? And they looked Jeremiah eyeball to eyeball. And here's what they said. They said, our father Jonadab told us to never mess with it. He commanded us not to drink it. And we don't care what you say. We love our daddy. We honor our father. And we're walking in the commandments our father gave us.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I mean, they looked Jeremiah eyeball to eyeball, said, we don't care what you said. Our daddy said, don't.
Right.
And if daddy said, don't, we're not going with you. Our daddy has our best interest in mind.
Amen.
Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, amen, they sat there and they resisted the pressure. They resisted the, amen, they resisted, my friend, even good people around them telling them, you can do this, you can do this. Amen, it looked like, amen, if they could ease up, this was the time to do it. And they said, daddy told us not to. You go down later in Jeremiah 35, the middle part of the chapter, here's what God said. He said, Jeremiah, you stand up, and you start preaching to Israel, and you tell them that the sons of Jonadab, the Rechabites, they have listened to everything their father told them to do.
Amen.
They won't even compromise for the man of God. They won't even compromise. Amen. Even though it seems that they have a license, they are walking in the ways and the things that their father commanded them to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
He said, you look at Israel and you tell them, why won't y'all do that? Why won't you listen? I'm your father. I've commanded you often. I've reproved you daily. I've sent message and command after command, and yet you refuse to walk in my way. God said, you tell Israel I'm sending judgment their way. You tell them because they won't follow me as their father, I'm going to let the enemy come in and destroy their life. Jeremiah stood up and preached, and as soon as he got done rebuking Israel, he turned to the Rechabites. He turned to the sons of Jonadab, and he said, you did well. You did well. Amen. You had an opportunity to turn from your parental authority, but you did well. You stood your ground. You walked. And here's what the Lord said through Jeremiah. Because you did all your father commanded you, I'm going to bless you.
Amen.
Don't tell me it ain't important you don't follow your parental authority. Now, I hope it ain't a big problem around here. We ain't got many young folks. If it's a big problem, we got a big problem. But we're living in a generation of young folk, amen, that do not understand from God's viewpoint what parental authority is for.
Right. That's right.
Wonder why there's so much dung building up in our nation. Wonder why there's so much dung building up in their young lives. Amen, sneaking around it. Think they got all their secrets covered. It. Amen, when they get an opportunity to exercise their so-called liberty. Amen, then they do. Are you listening to me? That is the heart of a rebel. Hey, God send a revival, Mary, into your heart that will say, amen, I will not go against what my father commanded me.
Amen.
I understand young folk have questions. Amen. I'm at a place. Amen. I'm at a place. Amen. Sam's going to be afraid to leave. I'll call him out. Amen. He got to run to work and daddy's going into overtime. Amen. But, amen. When our children are small, it's amazing. You just snap your fingers and they got to do what you say. Amen. I understand as they get older, Brother Larry, they got questions. And I understand there's things maybe that don't make sense in their mind. And I am trying as a father to be very, very compassionate toward that and lead through that. Truth ought not ever fear, amen, a question. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, even if you don't understand everything. Even if you don't understand everything, when you and that young lady's riding up and down the road and you can do something and get by with it and nobody knows, amen, you better understand God's only going to bless those who honor parental authority.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. It's business sneaking around in secrets. I'm telling you, it's destroying a generation coming in on the scene.
Yes, sir.
All in the name. I'm going to do it my own way. And I, listen, I sure enough love my kids, love Jones' kids, love Kelsey, and Isaac's not here. I wish he's here tonight. Amen. Amen. I love Xander. I love Xander. He's just a tiny old feller, big old body, but he's just a young man. Amen. I love him. Amen. The Phillips grand youngins. Amen. I'm going to tell you, parental leadership will help teach you how to keep the dung out of your life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Ain't it amazing when they needed somebody to work on the dung gate, Malachi said, I'll do that.
Hey.
You reckon that had something to do with the line he came from?
Amen.
You reckon because his Erechabite and something was deep down on the inside of his heart, he said, you know what? That's probably one of the most important practical gates we'll ever have around this wall. Amen. If nobody else will do it, I'll do it because I've been taught that that is an important thing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 You can go, Sam, if you need to, or stay if you want to. Amen. Providential leadership, parental leadership. Let me give you one more. Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. This will kick the rest of you out. Pastoral leadership.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I found something interesting studying this verse. I already defined this place where he is a ruler at. The Bible said he was a ruler of half part of Beth-Hakkerem. Beth-Hakkerem, the house of the vineyard. Boy, that even just sounds like a type of the church, don't it? When you study Beth-Hakkerem out, you'll find that in Jeremiah chapter number 6 and in verse number 1, the Lord calls to the Benjamites and says, now you boys, you sons of Benjamin, you need to get you up. And he said, you need to go to two places. You need to go to Tekoa, and when you get to Tekoa, blow the trumpet. And then you need to go to Beth-Hakkerem and light the sign of fire. He said, because the enemy's coming, somebody needs to sound the alarm. Somebody needs to blow the trumpet. Somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to shine a light. Amen. Somebody needs to give a warning that there's danger out there. Are you listening tonight? Amen. Tekoa and Beth-Hakkerem appear to be, at least at some point in Jerusalem's history, amen, to have been signaling cities to sound and sign alarms of danger. Amen. Can I say God's man is a trumpet and God's man is a sign of fire. Amen. God's man is a light. Amen. To shine against the sin and the worldliness of our day. Amen. You say, but preacher, it looks like, amen, they're having so much fun out there. Amen. Oh, my friend, can you be reasonable for a moment? Amen. Will you listen to a man who hadn't arrived? of the man who's been doing this for 20 years. I'm telling you, I've never seen them go out. I've never seen them ignore the trumpet. I've never seen a man, friend, turn a blind eye. Amen. To the light, the man of God was shining in the danger signals he was giving. And they ever live long enough to enjoy what they want to have.
Right. That's right.
See, and it's not just this generation. I don't want to be too hard tonight. I don't want to sound like an ogre and a grouch and somebody hard to deal with. I guess maybe it's always been this way. We're in this generation and it's coming up again of people who think they know better than the men and the authorities through men of God that God has raised up to blow the trumpet and shine the light and give warnings.
Amen.
Watching young folk, I'm watching families, I'm watching people that just have so much potential, their lives be destroyed because they're not allowing pastoral leadership to mold and form their life.
Amen. Amen.
You blow the trumpet and you light the fire and you try to help them. All the while, dumb just keeps piling up. God said, there's so many references. You can look it up if you're brave enough to study it. Do a study on dung in the Word of God. God told Israel this. He said, I'm tired of you taking what I command you and the messages I give you through my men, and you just shirk it off and you rebel against it and you disobey it. Here's what God said in one instance. He said, here's what's going to happen to you. I'm going to let the enemy come in and get you and carry you away with dung on your face.
Right.
Ain't that a terrible thing?
Yes, sir.
We have all the warnings in the pages of God's Word.
Amen.
All the warnings, all the teaching, all the doctrine that says, you better listen, you better listen, you better listen. God is not playing around. You better listen. People, Jesse, try to skirt around pastoral leadership. Buddy, when you turn a deaf ear to the trumpet of God's man and when you turn a blind eye to the sign of fire he lights, it won't be long. Dung will be piling up. The enemy's going to get you and dung will be on your face. His old song, it's a rebel song. It's a heathen song. I remember Brother Tim, he is probably from his day. He'll be able to tell you more about it. And I may even have the words wrong. I hear all this worldly form of music. When I hear it, I hear things they're not even saying. I can't understand half of what they're saying. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Is that a line of that old song, Tim? You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. You know what? A lot of Christians got dung on their face. As a preacher, I see them come in, and I'm a nobody. I ain't trying to be super spiritual. I ain't trying to lord over nobody tonight. But I watch people come into church, and they got dung on their face. Right, I watch them, I watch it happen, and you blow the trumpet and you try to help them.
Yes, sir.
Just keep coming in with dung on their face.
Amen.
Kathy, I won't go, you big disgrace.
Right.
And yet God just makes a man of God get up and try again, and maybe the next message it'll settle in.
Amen.
Maybe if I say it this way, it'll get their attention. Man of God is always wrestling with God on how do I stop it? How do I get them to listen?
Right.
You know what? I've come to the conclusion, you'll listen when you're ready to listen.
That's right.
Pastoral leadership.
Amen.
Amen. Can I give you two closing thoughts? I'll just give the one real quick. I'll give them both pretty quick, but I gave you the one on last week.
We're looking at the dung gate. Ain't this good?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Boy, I tell you. The dung gate is mentioned in Nehemiah 12:31. In that circling of the city, there was a crowd of the princes of Judah. And the first crowd, Nehemiah said, I sent them eastward and sent them toward the dung gate. First stop they would come to, they'd walk around that city. There they would sing and they would praise and they would come to them gates and portions of them walls. And they would just give God the glory. The first stop that the first half of that crowd had, it was at the dung gate. I don't think that's by accident. I think the spiritual truth is, amen, when you raise a dung gate in your life and you can go there and you can see, amen, you can see the smoke rolling up of everything God has purified out of your life, it'll give you your praise back. And restore praise and joy and spiritual excitement. This is an impossibility without going by the dung gate. Amen. Amen. Can I give you one more? I'm going to anyway. Amen. Will you listen while I give it to you? Amen. Look in verse 15. What's the next gate? The gate of the fountain. We would call it the fountain gate. The gate of the fountain gate. You know what we're going to find there, probably starting next Sunday night? It reveals the child of God walking in the fullness of the Spirit. So, well, what's so significant about that? We're on the dung gate. Remember, this thing is going in a sovereign order, counterclockwise. You can't go the fish gate till you've been the sheep gate. You can't go the old gate till you've been the sheep gate and the fish gate. You can't go the valley gate and get what you need out there till you've been the sheep gate, the fish gate, and the old gate.
Amen.
You can't go the dung gate till you've been the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate.
Yes, sir. Good,
good. If the dung gate's where we get the mess out, and the next gate is about fullness of Spirit, being Spirit-filled, walking and living in the Spirit-filled life. Here's the truth the Lord showed me. It's simple. You will never know what it is to walk in the Spirit till you get the dung dealt with in your life. We got people trying to be Spirit-filled. Trying to enjoy the fountain gate. They think somehow I can bypass the dung gate. Remember where we started? I can bypass the dung gate and go to the fountain gate. You're wasting your time. Because you can't carry your dung to the fountain gate. It poisons the waters. Amen. Amen. Jesus said there'll be rivers of water coming up out of a child of God. Wells of living water. Spirit of God on the inside. And I say one thing I've learned in 25 years of being saved. He don't like to bubble up where there's dung hills piled up. If he has to, amen. If he has to tiptoe around your life to dodge the dung, he ain't going to let you know his fullness. Amen. Amen. Ain't that good preaching?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Can y'all tell I'm enjoying Nehemiah 3?
Amen.
It's awesome, buddy. It is awesome. Amen. Well, I'm going to let you go. All right.